Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to American Patriots Have Responded. I'm Bill Moss, your host and founder of Citizens Against Terrorism. You can find us at citizensagainstterrorism.org at our website. I ask you to go on that website and look us over, see what we're about. If you're interested, you can go back to the top of the page, hit the Facebook rally point. At that point, you'll be taken to a Facebook page. You can hit join on that page. We do screen our members before we let them on. If you're acceptable for our organization, we will send you a message about how you can actually join the boots on the ground operation. We do a lot of things. We'll tell you more about that when you contact us through the information we send you. We're not just about going out in the streets. We're about doing other things for our communities. Today we've got a very special guest that's coming on. She's not logged in yet. So we're going to go ahead with a message from our sponsor. Today's show is being sponsored by Jeff's Sporting Goods, located about a half a mile north of London, Kentucky, past Hal Rogers Parkway on North Lowell Road at the Green Roof Plaza. Jeff has trailer accessories, archery equipment, guns, ammo, fishing tackle, and more. Call Jeff at 606-877-2442 for more information. Deborah, are you ready for a good show today?
Oh, my God. Let's do this thing. Yes, I am. Hello. Hello, when we get our incredible guest. Yes.
Yes, I'm waiting for her to call in. There might be a problem. She might be having trouble with the phones. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about some other stuff.
I see a caller on hold, Bill.
Do you see a caller on hold? Okay, can you click that caller and see if that's our guest?
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, Dr. Hall?
Hello.
Hello, Chris Ann. This is Bill Moss. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
It's an honor to have you. Great. It's an honor to have you here today. I want our audience to know a little bit about you. You received a bachelor's degree in biochemistry from Blackburn College, right?
Yes.
Says you have a Juris Doctor from the University of Florida College of Law.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you, too, because I also see you have a military service with the United States Army's Military Intelligence and Cryptological Linguist. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a prosecutor for the state of Florida. You were at that job for nearly a decade. You've worked with prominent national First Amendment law firm where you traveled the country defending Americans whose rights were violated by unlawful arrests and prosecutions. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. I do know that you're the most sought after national speaker on the Constitution, averaging over 250 events a year, or nearly that many, in 22 states. And you've been doing that for 5 years straight, right?
Actually, we've been teaching across the country for 11 years, but we averaged 260 meetings in over 22 states every single year for over 5 years.
Right. You've been seen on I-24 News, Law and Crime, Newsmax, Fox News. You've been interviewed by C-SPAN in depth on your books you've written. You've had classes featured on C-SPAN. That's very, very impressive as well. You've had a nationally popular radio show now for 6 years. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and you're both on regular radio and internet stations. So,
yes.
I know you live in Florida with your husband, JC. And you're adopted son, Colton. And
that's
so
right.
You're a mom, you're a lawyer, you're an author, you're a Juris Doctor, you're a professor. How do you find time to fit all that in?
Well, you know, this is what we do, and this is who we are. So we do this as our, you know, this is our job. This is our call. So we are motivated, and we just literally do everything that we do every minute of every day. I know that
I have watched you on the news, and I've watched you, you know, when you talk, and I have been highly impressed with you. And when I found out we had a lead to get to you, to talk to you, to get you on the show, I was really excited. Deborah, I believe you're excited as well, aren't you?
Oh, I'm just in awe. Dr. Hall, thank you very much for joining our host, Bill, and I. Thank you.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
We realize that your time's limited on the show today, that you've got a half an hour. So what I want to do is I want to get down to the questions that we are asked a lot about the Second Amendment, okay? And if we get through them and you've got time, I've got another question I want to ask. But we really need to look at this Second Amendment because we get a lot of questions. And, mm-hmm. you know, I give people the answers that, you know, that I believe are true. And I would like to come straight from you as a scholar. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
The number one question that I get is, does my state have the right to limit what kind of firearm I can own and purchase?
Well, that is really a good question, and it sounds like maybe there's when I say it that way, you might think that I'm saying that, you know, maybe there's some question to that. The question is, how do we think about our right to keep and bear arms, to be honest with you? And so the first thing that we must understand that our state constitutions create and define and establish the parameters under which our state government can operate. But one of the most important things for us to realize is that the right to keep and bear arms is not a permission that the government gives us. It's not something that we have as members of a society, as the benefit of some society or some government. The right to keep and bear arms is an inherent natural right. Samuel Adams said, among the natural rights of the colonists are these: first, life; secondly, liberty; third, property, together with the right to support and defend them in the best manner that they can. And James Madison explained that our right to protect property is a unique right in and of itself. So we don't simply have a right in property, we have a property in right. And so what we have to then ask the question is, do they have the authority to take away from us without due process, without any kind of recognition to our right to keep and bear arms? Meaning, do they have the right to regulate it if we haven't committed a crime? Do they have the right to tell us what we can and cannot do without due process with this right to keep and bear arms? And the answer to that question has to be no, because it's a natural right. The problem becomes then, when we allow governments to infringe upon our natural rights because that we've sort of given in to some plea of necessity, or we've become so ignorant of our rights that we don't realize that the right to keep and bear arms is essential in that preservation of life, liberty, and property. And if you don't have a right to secure your own, as an individual, your own life, your liberty, and your property, then you are a slave to whomever you are waiting to do that for you. And you are actually owned by whomever you depend on to defend your life. So the answer to that question ought to be no. But the problem is, as Samuel Adams said, no people will tamely surrender their liberties nor be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. He said, but on the contrary, when the people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. And that's our problem. We've become educated into an ignorance that makes us, where we lose our understanding that the right to defend individually and personally our life and our liberty and our property is an inherent right. And we've allowed government to regulate it under the false premise that it's their job to keep us safe.
Well, you know, it makes me think of two different things here, what you're saying. One, the Anti-Federalist 89 Brutus, I'm sure you're very aware of the Anti-Federalist papers more than I am. But I studied this because we became a sanctuary city where I live. I'm a sanctuary county where I live for Second Amendment. And one of the things I brought up was Brutus, there's speculation who he was. You know, a lot of the Anti-Federalists, they wrote under aliases. He argued that, you know, they had wrote a letter. He had wrote a letter to the governor of New York saying, you know, there's no Bill of Rights. We're not going to vote for this. And the Federalists had argued that anything not taken was given. And his response was anything not given was taken. So we were given this, you know, in the Constitution because these people took a stand. And like you said, we can't let educated ignorance take that away from us. That's the one thing I think about. And the other thing is I remember back to Ben Franklin when he said, you know, what kind of government have you given us? And he said, it's a republic if you can keep it. And I believe that what you call educated ignorance is the way we're losing it. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. I do.
Because, I mean, that to me come to mind as you were speaking. Some people come to us and they try to tell us that farms that we're guaranteed in the Second Amendment are limited to the types of farms that were available in 1776. And it does not include farms that some people call assault rifles or any kind of pistol, but single-shot black powder and ball ammunition. How do you answer that kind of question or that kind of statement?
Well, you have to answer that question understanding that the person who's saying it is operating out of ignorance. Okay, because you can only believe that to be true if you are ignorant of the creation of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And so the framers who wrote the Bill of Rights were very clear about what they meant with the right to keep and bear arms. First off, you don't have a Second Amendment right. There's not a single person in America with a Second Amendment right. You have a natural right to keep and bear arms irrespective of the Second Amendment. So it doesn't matter when the Second Amendment was written. Your right to keep and bear arms is a natural right that is the understanding that you have the right to protect your life, your liberty, and your property in whatever manner is necessary to do so. And that means that if you have the right to own anything necessary to keep and protect your life, your liberty, and your property. Noah Webster said that the standing army can only rule when the people are disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. He said, "The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of force that Congress can raise on any pretense." So what our founders believed was not only that we had the right to own anything that the government had the authority to own, but we also had we would also outarm and outnumber the government as it was armed, because we had to be the security of our rights, not government.
So would that include, like, I know there was a argument over bump stocks, there was an argument over large capacity type of magazines and stuff like that. That would include that too then, right?
Absolutely. That would include tanks. That would include any weapon that the government can that we have given the government permission to own any weapon that they have taken authority to own.
Okay. I wanted to make that clear. That's my understanding of it as well. And, you know, we're not a militia, this organization, the Citizens Against Terrorism, but we do work with the police. We're registered with the government. We go in where these problems are right now, and we're helping them in the streets. We're also willing to go in with the National Guard or any government agency during, you know, times of natural disasters and stuff like this. We've had people pulling people out of the fires in Oregon. We've had people pulling people out of the floods in Florida. And we've had people over in Alabama helping to rebuild, you know, some of the houses and stuff, you know, get them back to where the people could get in. And so we're not a militia. Militia doesn't do all that. Plus, we're going to be setting up community centers for charity to help out needy people in our communities. One of the questions, too, that I'd like you to explain is, what does militia mean in the Constitution?
Well, I think what's important is, what did the militia mean to those who wrote the Second Amendment? And and I actually have at a class, I have several classes at libertyfirstuniversity.com where I show you, not just simply from my opinion, but from the words and original source of those who actually wrote the Constitution. So just to sort of nutshell it, according to those who drafted, those who voted, who ratified the Constitution, the militia is in their own words, and I quote, "the whole body of the people." And so they not only said it's the whole body of the people, but Noah Webster distinguished it from any force that can be raised by Congress. George Mason distinguished the militia from anything that anybody who worked in the government. And so what we learn from them is the militia is everybody, not including government. I think a lot of the confusion comes forward when we misapply or misunderstand that there are two distinct kinds of militia. So there is the general militia, which is the whole body of the people. And at that time, anybody aged 16 to 60. And I hear people say, well, that was only men. Well, apparently you don't understand the history of our revolution, because while the men were off fighting, the women had become their own militia. And so we have, like, for example, we have Prudence Cummings Wright, who was the captain of her militia of 50 or 60 women who were guarding their town. And so the general militia is the whole body of the people. The select militia are those who have become organized by the state. So the whole body of the people is the general militia, and that's who the Second Amendment refers to. The select militia is who the Constitution refers to in the Congress's authority to call forward the militia and the state constitution's authority to regulate the militia.
Right. Okay, so it's the whole general body of the people. And and what is their express purpose? Can you explain what the purpose for the general militia is, as far as, you know,
well, the general militia is everyone, and the general militia's responsibility is to and the individual.
Okay.
Right. So the general militia is you guard your own rights and you guard your neighbor's rights when in need. The select militia is you guard the people in the state or the entire union when necessary.
Right. Does it not also mention about an overreaching government?
Well, I mean, that's inherent in the idea of securing your rights. You don't simply secure your rights from criminals, you have to secure your rights from an overreaching government.
Right. All right. That was where I was trying to head with that, and find out, you know, what your take on that was, because, you know.
Well, I think what's important to realize that this is not my take, right? Who cares what Chris Van Hollen
But your understanding
to say?
Of the,
this is what the
you know,
This is what the people who wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights actually said. It's not my understanding.
Right.
It's not my interpretation. It's their words specifically and literally.
Right. And I didn't mean to be disrespectful when I said take. I mean, that was your explanation because that's why we have you here, because you're being a scholar.
But this is important that the people who are listening understand, because we live in a society that relies too much on the words of experts, right? And so what's important is to understand that I don't know this because I'm a scholar. I know this because I read the documents where the people actually said this. And these things are available online. Anybody can read them. And that's what we do at LibertyFirstUniversity.com. We teach you where to find them, and we teach you how to read them.
Okay. Because, I mean, that's the whole thing, is I want people to understand that, you know, that this mm-hmm. was, you know, it was, like you said, to protect each other, to protect yourself, and to protect the country as a whole, that the whole people comprise the militia, you know, mm-hmm. and we're not select. Militia. We are the militia as citizens. The last thing I want to ask you about is on the Second Amendment here is I know people in California, they're having a horrible time getting weapons. You know, they feel hopelessly trapped. Dealers want to ship to the FFL licensed dealers in California now. Online distributors will not ship in either. You can't even buy ammo in California. It's terrible. Is this legal, and what can California residents do to defend themselves? I mean, we're in a perilous time right now, and these people are feeling trapped and hopeless.
Well, what did Samuel Adams say? We will sink underneath the weight, our own weight, without the aid of foreign invaders. California's in the situation it's in because the people allow their government to exercise this authority. A lot of the problem with getting firearms and ammunition are like with the firearms maker Springfield. California put so much regulation on the manufacturers that Springfield said, fine, we're not going to comply with your regulations. So California said, well, then your firearms are not going to be lawful here. California ought not have those in government in California ought not have the authority to do that. But in reality, the authority exists when the people allow them to do it. So the response is that the people must band together. You must unite in their liberty and engage in a peaceful noncompliance where they arm themselves, where they, if I have to, leave the state to arm themselves and come back into their homes. Will that be difficult? Will you be subject to arrest or prosecution? Yes, but that's why the whole body of the people have to unite together. Communities have to come together. You don't need the whole state of California to agree, but you need people to stand in unity together and protect each other. And so the solution is either you stand up for your rights, engage in peaceful noncompliance, or you move, because you cannot live reasonably in a place where you are enslaved to your own death because it's against the law to protect yourself.
Right. That's very much what I've been trying to tell people. There's one question we would like to ask that's come up because of this judge thing that's going on, you know, where they've nominated the Supreme Court justice. Would you mind answering a question for Deborah?
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, Dr.
Ahead,
oh, this is great. I could talk all day and listen to you talk about the Second Amendment and the Constitution. I am going to jump on LibertyFirstUniversity.com, and I'm going to jump on your class, and I'm going to learn. This is fascinating. Thank you very much. The question
Thank
is
you.
Quick. I'm just really impressed. I love incredibly educated scholars that know what they're talking about. And you just gave me just like a bright light because I'm in California. so thank you very much. My question, or our question, we had a caller call in a couple of days ago when Amy Coney Barrett was nominated. And he talked about original intent. And he also acted like he wasn't that excited about her nomination. And I know Justice Kavanaugh is an originalist, and he's a textualist, and he follows the original meaning rather than the original intent. And this gentleman that called in was a believer in the original intent. Can you explain that in so many words, the difference and why the Federalist believed in the exact? And can you explain to that caller and to all of us about the difference and why we do it the way we do with original meaning?
Well, the Constitution is a contract, and it's a specific kind of contract called a compact. This is actually something that I teach in an entire class at libertyfirstuniversity.com. So at libertyfirstuniversity.com, if you go on there, you watch the class State Sovereignty, then you will understand what this means specifically. But the Constitution is a contract. And legally speaking, when you want to apply a contract and you don't understand the terms within that contract, you don't get to make it up as you go along. Contract law says that you have to go to the people who wrote the contract to determine the meaning of the contract. It's a specific term in contract law called the meeting of the minds. And so our Constitution being a contract, if there's a provision we don't understand, we don't get to make it up, and the judges don't get to make it up. They have to go to those who ratified the Constitution to determine the meaning. And that's what we call original intent. You go to those who wrote the Constitution to determine the meaning first. When you don't have that meaning from their words, then you can go and search for the meaning elsewhere. But the first place you have to go is to the original words of those who wrote the Constitution. And that's why it's called original. And we apply contract law like that everywhere across the country. And the irony is the Constitution is the only contract where the progressive judges and lawyers and politicians don't want to apply contract law.
Right. So is that where we get the precedent? So they set precedent because they're taking the reasonable, the interpretation of the people who wrote the framers of the Constitution, and then they're applying what might be reasonable by the meaning of what they wrote on the and the intention of their words, right, of the contract. Am I understanding that?
Okay. Yes.
I agree. So that's why.
So you go to the Federalist Papers, you go to the Anti-Federalist Papers, you go to the letters that they wrote when they explained it to each other, you go to the ratification debates. It's absolutely amazing how many documents that are actually out there to help us understand what the Constitution meant and how it's supposed to work.
Wow. Very exciting. I'm excited to be part of the United States of America and of our founding fathers and the Constitution of the United States. I'm so proud. I really am. Thank you for all of that. And, Bill, I'll turn
the
questioning back to you. I don't know how much time Dr. Hall has, and that's not up to me. Thank you.
Well, I know, Dr. Hall, you have to be leaving soon for a podcast of your own, right?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to tell people how to get a hold of your podcast before you leave, how they can get on your podcast?
Sure. ChrisAnnHall.com, ChrisAnnHall.com, will give you the direct links to our audio and video versions of the podcast. We are on YouTube, Facebook. I am I have a brand new account on Rumble because YouTube is giving us such a hard time. Our audio of the podcast is carried on SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, Google Music, Anchor FM, FM.com. We're all over the place. And the videos are run live stream on our website, chrisanhall.com, and on YouTube as well.
Awesome. Dr. Hall, I thank you for coming on. It's been an honor to have you on. We've had some big names on here, but when it comes to the Constitution and history, you, in my opinion, are an elite scholar. And it's an honor to have you here. And I hope that sometime in the future we might have you back for other topics. At that, I will let you leave so that you can go on and get ready for your show. I'm sorry our times hit like they do, but it's great to have you on for a half an hour and let our listeners hear you, because we've been needing this and our people really need to hear from you. And I appreciate your time.
You.
Thank you very much. Have a great night.
God bless. Thank
God
you.
Bless.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We just heard from Dr. Chris Ann Hall. She is a fantastic woman, lady. I don't know how to say it elsewise, but as far as a scholar, she is top-notch. And I hope that you have enjoyed listening to her. We're going to move on with the rest of the itinerary of the show. We watched this weekend. We talked about last night. The state police coming into Portland, Oregon. They were asked to come to Portland. They wanted them. Kate Brown wanted them to come in and take care of the bad Proud Boys. And I was even disappointed to see Fox News that last night and say that they were a hate speech group. There's nothing close to that. They are patriots. They are standing up for their civil rights. They are standing up for our communities. They're going, trying to make a change in this world. There were other groups there with them. It wasn't just the Proud Boys. There was one person got in trouble on what was considered the Patriot side, but this person was not a member of the Proud Boys or any of the organizations that was with them. This was a lone wolf one percenter, and it wasn't something even enough to get him arrested, but it got him a citation. Okay. On the other hand, we saw the arrest. We talked about the arrest last night. We saw how they sneaked up on the people from the Antifa group, and they was able to call out some of them they've been looking for. It was a very good move by the state police. They done it without any roughhousing or anything. They done a wonderful job. They went on to clear the park out at 11:45. They started clearing the park out. They met some resistance. They used minimum force, and I want to express this, and Deb, you witnessed this too. They used minimal force to move a crowd out that was resisting leaving. Nobody got beat down. Nobody got beat up. The worst person got hurt, run right square into a concrete post, and got himself a groin shot that was of his own making. He had no reason to be running. So this is what happened. Now, today, Governor Kate Brown, since she didn't get them to sick on the Proud Boys, and they took care of business like they should have been doing all along, and if you remember from last night's broadcast, I said that was the best policing I have seen since this started May 25th with George Floyd. This was the best policing. There was no 1960 styles beatdowns. There was none of that. Antifa have been hiding under the guise of press, doing live streaming, and some of them got arrested. And Governor Brown is upset because of this, because they come in and did their job after she asked them in. So she has, again, as I predicted, did I not, Deborah? I predicted that Kate Brown, once this happened, that she would tell state police to get out of town. And that's exactly what she's done. We talked about this a couple times on different shows here recently. You need, if you live in Oregon or if you live in any state where this is happening, and you've got a mayor allowing this to happen, you've got a governor allowing this to happen, I want you to join me in writing letters to your state attorney general and to the attorney general, Bill Barr, in Washington, D.C., at the Department of Justice, and telling them that you are tired of watching your city and your state destroyed by these people that are aiding and abetting. This is very important, aiding and abetting these terrorists in your towns and your state, and that you're willing to file a complaint against them, and you want it brought up in a court of law, you want them brought on charges, and that you are willing to sign the complaint, and if need be, to go to court to voice your opinion on this. We need to stop this, folks. We're going to be coming out with something I'm going to talk about in a little bit. This is very big, and if we don't get it stopped, there is going to be bloodshed, worse than there's already been. There's a very big force behind this that we're going to be exposing soon. But right now, I'm asking you to sit down and write yourself letters to your state attorney general and to the attorney general of the United States, William Barr, and to tell them that you want to bring charges against your governor and your mayors that are doing this. And if we will stand together in solidarity, we'll start pressing these charges. They're going to have to put a stop to this. There's no reason that we should be locked in our homes in fear. There's no reason that we should be forced to not be able to get on the bus to get to work if we've got a job that we can get to that's not been burnt down or destroyed. And there's no reason we should have to worry about being attacked going down the street. There's no reason we should be having our buildings, our businesses, our livelihoods, and everything destroyed because people are acting out because they did not get what they wanted 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And now they're trying to destroy this government. We're going to talk about a coup d'etat here in just a little bit. But like I said, we predicted this, Deborah. We predicted it.
Can I quote something that I've heard many times? Actually, a good friend of mine used to say this all the time. And here it is, because we just had a constitutionalist scholar on here. And it really excited me about our Constitution. I'm so proud to be an American and to have this ancestry. One of my ancestors is Alexander Hamilton. Yes, sirree, on one of our currencies. But what I feel about this, I'll say it in one sentence. When you put the power of our government or anything, any power in the hands of a stupid, ignorant person, you create a tyrant. We are being controlled by tyranny, and I'm pissed. I'm in California. I'm a prisoner, and like Dr. Hall stated, we've got to leave California, or we've got to band together and fight because we're on house arrest in L.A. County. We're on house arrest. That's what I got to say, Bill. That's what I got to say. Pretty upsetting.
Well, it's going like Chris Ann said, it's going to take the people come together. They're going to have to, number one, they're going to have to arm themselves no matter what it takes. They're going to have to do it peacefully. But when it comes to your door, or when it comes to your store, or when it comes to your neighbor, then you've got a constitutional right that is not just a constitutional right. This right is a natural right. In other words, if you have a faith, this is a God-given right, but a natural right to protect yourself, to protect your own, protect your neighbors, protect your community, protect your state, and to protect your country. And California, you guys need to wake up. We're seeing what's going on in your cities. We're seeing your state burn down. How much longer will you wait before you start taking action against these politicians? I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat or independent. If they're taking part in this, then you need to start taking action. And if we flood these attorney generals with these requests for them to file charges, they're not going to have any other recourse because we're going to keep pushing it if you do it. we're going to keep pushing it. We'll get other people online with us pushing this thing. There's people out there that will help us get our rights back that have been systematically taken away from us. Dr. Hall, I mean, she said it in a nutshell. California, you're going to have to do this. And that goes for New York. That goes for Chicago. You know, they want to take away your guns. But yet, the criminals have no trouble having guns. Have you noticed that? Do you know why that is, Deborah?
Do you know why that is?
What?
Because Demers, because criminals don't obey the law. They do what they want to do. And just because you turn your gun in and you let them buy it back or whatever they want to do, however they want to gloss up the pig with the lipstick, just because you do that does not mean that criminal is doing the same thing. The same criminals that's in the street. My gosh, we walked into Louisville. There was, like I said, probably 1,000 AR-15s in a city block and 2,000-3,000 handguns that we were up facing of these people that's in there destroying our country. And then we get these people on the internet and people that, you know, messages and stuff. Well, you don't have a right to be out in the street with a gun. Well, you go get them away from them, and we'll gladly walk down the street without them. We'll gladly walk down the street without them. You know, if you could take and guarantee that every criminal in this country had their guns taken away and had no more access to them, then I'm pretty sure the police would be glad to lay theirs down too. But now, you know, we watched a town hall today, Deborah, remember, from Louisville. And
sure
you got
did.
To see more of it than I did. So I'm going to let you expand on this some. I'm just going to say that when we were in Louisville, we were told that every patriot in the street has a $5,000 bounty on their head. Every leader of every organization has a $10,000. And every police officer had $20,000. But they had the police chief, if I'm right, Deborah, that had just quit Louisville, right? They were talking to him. And we found out today that they have arrested someone one of these radical groups that has told them, no, it's not a $20,000 bounty. It's a $30,000 bounty on every police officer in the street. Now you stop and look, you're not seeing on the news, but if you stay with us, you listen with us, you're going to find out there's a lot of police officers getting shot. There's a lot of them. They're being attacked in the station house even. Okay. They're being attacked off duty in their personal cars and plain clothing. Just like us, if they pull out of that police garage and they've got their license plate tag on their vehicle, or if their VIN number's where somebody can get a picture of it, there's somebody out there that is either in the license bureau, law enforcement, or some other type of person that has access to the NCIC that is running plate numbers, they're running VIN numbers, they're getting the numbers of these people and going to their homes. They're doing it to police officers. They're doing it to patriots. When you go into a hot spot as a patriot to help out with the police, you have to take your license plates off before you leave home. You have to cover your VIN numbers before you leave home. Because if you don't, when you get home, they'll be waiting for you, or they'll come knocking at your door in the night. This has been happening, folks. This is no game we're playing. We're not trying to hype something up. We're trying to get the truth out that you're not hearing on the news. I watched yesterday as a wildfire caused a hospital to have to be evacuated. I turned on the news. You know what they were talking about? Well, Joe Biden said this, and Donald Trump said that. And you flip to another channel. These floods happened 10 years ago. Everything under the sun was on the news, but the truth that, you know, that out in California in the Napa Valley, they were trying to get the word out for people to get out of their homes, to get out of the area because the fire was coming at them and they were going to be burned up. But the news, that does not sell what they want to sell right now. So they would rather let you sit in your home and burn. The only people that was doing anything was the local California stations. A lot of people, now that we have cable TV, we have fire sticks and everything, they don't watch the local stations. They stay on the national news. They have a responsibility to let these things be known. I don't know, Deborah, we're going to have to start doing more fast breaks, I guess, you know, announcing these things. And hopefully our listeners will listen, and if they're in those areas, they can get out. That's the only thing I know to do.
Well,
what do you think?
Yeah, can I jump in here? A couple of days ago, we had over right leading into the weekend, where everyone was so concerned about the Breonna Taylor outcome with the AG in Kentucky. The second streaming story, trending story, on a major media network on the internet was a man died of eating too much black licorice. I'm going to really beg and implore and plead and try to encourage and commission every listener out there, please get, instead of watching this damn TV, if you're going to watch it, go to the internet and open up your county, city, council meetings. Scroll back and start watching them locally. Find out what your little local leaders are, because as Dr. Hall mentioned, we are being ran by the local governments. So the mayor of L.A., Mayor Garcetti, has the power of President Trump, actually more power. And I will say this. Let me say this, and I'm going to turn it back over to you. In 2019, before the 2020 debacle we've all been experiencing, which just won't stop giving us great, horrid news stories, like some kind of an Alfred Hitchcock movie. Here's the deal. 24,000 people died in gun violence in the archives of suicide by gun violence in 2019. Homicide was 15,000. Now, I want to explain, children dying with guns is just horrific. But in 2019, there were only 1,000. That was between age 0 and 17. That includes the gang members that are out there shooting them up. 1,000 children, which is horrific. My God, that's horrible. But for God's sake, did we just hear Dr. Hall say it is our natural, inherent, God-given rights in this country to not allow somebody to come into our world and kill us, like in California? Put your guns down, turn them in New York, turn them in, and for God's sake, wait until they come and bash your head in or blow your brains out. Come on, help me out here, Bill. I'm getting pissed. Now you got me mad.
It's good for a change to get you mad. I'm usually the one who gets mad on these things. The whole thing is we've got to stand up, folks. We got to stand up. We've got to quit paying attention to the dumbed down news that we're being spoon fed. Agendas are agendas, and that every station has its agendas. I want to start out by this, and I'll go into an agenda real quick for you. Tomorrow night we will start an expose. Start exposing the players, organizations who are not just plotting an overthrow of the presidency. You know, we keep hearing, you know, from the left side, it's overthrow of the presidency. The right side, you know, the president's trying to be a tyrant. We keep hearing all this. But what these people are planning is a complete coup d'etat of our whole country to topple the Constitution of the United States, take over this country. They will be continuing. We'll be continuing an investigation on this for some time to come, and we'll be having nightly updates. Sometimes the whole show will be comprised of that. But you need to listen to this, folks, because we've done uncovered 51 organizations that are highly financed, highly connected, that are trying to overthrow our country. And these are the people in the street are the byproducts of that. And this is just the first wave. What's coming is beyond anything that you can believe. I was asked today, is this a Stephen King novel? And I said, I feel like it is, because, I mean, this is terrible. But I want to just give you a little bit of information tonight that we found, because I think this is important, because Fox News is going to be doing the debate tomorrow night. And it's important that you know what we found out. If you'll remember, in March 7th of 2019, the DNC banned Fox from covering the election and from doing the debates. That was on the 17th. On the 9th of March of, I mean, that was on the 7th. On the 9th of March of 19, Judge Jeanine stated on the air that Ilhan Omar's hijab, I guess that's how you say it, or hijab or whatever it is, that they wrap around their head, was antithetical with the U.S. Constitution. And and for that, she was suspended. But at that time, the law was you did not wear a head covering or a hat or anything in the halls of Congress and the Senate. So instead of making the law stand again, the laws were changed to benefit somebody that is obviously not assimilating, somebody that's encouraging this stuff that's going on. And I believe as we go through this, we're going to find out how deeply she's involved. So for this, Judge Jeanine was suspended from the air. On the 16th of March, Jeanine's show was replaced by a rerun of the Scandalous episode. And then on the 18th, Donna Brazile put out a little blurb that she was considering coming to Fox News. Okay. Then on the 19th, now I hope you're following these dates with me. On the 19th of March, this is all since the 7th of March. On the 19th, Fox goes public. Not Rupert's shows, though, not his part of Fox, but the rest of it goes public. And Rupert's shows consist of Hannity and Laura Ingraham, I believe. Also on the 19th, if you remember Paul Ryan, that was Speaker of the House the first 2 years of the Trump presidency, Paul Ryan was the one that when the Republicans said, we need to get to the bottom of what went on in the election, we need to get to the bottom of the corruption, we need to put a stop to this before it gets worse, Paul Ryan refused to sign and allow them to get the subpoenas they needed to put an end to this. And this is what has festered, it has festered into now. The impeachments, you know, the attacks on Trump, the attacks on these Supreme Court justices or any judge that come up, you know, Kavanaugh was a farce. They're going to try to make this the same way with Amy Barrett, Coney Barrett. This is the same thing that's going on. So on the 19th, okay, they went public. Guess who they put right on? It was Paul Ryan. They put him right on the board on the 19th. Okay. On the 20th, Donna Brazile admits she accepted Fox's invite to join the station. Now, why is this important? Well, we're looking at the election debates. And when we're looking at the election debates, do you remember Donna Brazile's involvement, Deborah, in the 2016 election, what she did?
Yeah, and I want you to explain it. And also explain who she is in the previous administration. Go for it, Bill.
Well, the previous administration, I don't want to get into that till tomorrow, okay?
Okay, you got it.
Because if I do, I'm not going to get in what I need to get in. Donna Brazile, during the 2016 election, she was the head of the Democratic National Convention. She was the one that passed the questions for the debate to Hillary Clinton before the debate so she could prepare answers for a debate that the questions were supposed to be heard for the first time by the candidates at the debate. We've got this dishonesty here. And I believe that, if I remember right, that's why she was removed from the DNC to save
that's
face.
Right.
Yeah. Then we had Debbie Wasserman Schultz come in, and that's a whole nother nightmare. Okay. Now Donna Brazile's on the scene on the 20th. Of March. On the 23rd, Jeanine's show, the Scandalous thing was over. They replaced it with Ed Henry on the Mueller report. Now, if we remember the Mueller report, it turned out to be a joke. when Mueller got up to answer his questions, he couldn't even answer them. He had no clue what the investigation was about. He had to keep referring to the guy next to him. I thought he was there to testify, not the person that actually done the investigation, because he was supposed to done the investigation. So, you know, they replaced a story about that. And then on the 30th, Judge Jeanine was finally reinstated. We're going to get into that a little bit more about why she was reinstated as we go into this. But it's a very clear thing. They were banned from doing it. And then all of a sudden, you know, the next thing is Jeanine gets kicked off the air because, you know, she made a remark about, you know, what Ilhan Omar was wearing in the House of Congress was against the Constitution, which it was. It was against the law. And then Brazil all of a sudden comes up and says, hey, I'm thinking about coming to Fox News. The next day, Paul Ryan does come to Fox News. He goes on to the board. And you got to remember that the Murdochs pretty much bowed out of Fox News and turned it over to their kids. One's very liberal. I'm not sure about the other one. And so you've got Paul Ryan coming in, who was a never-Trumper, who blocked the investigation for 2 years. You know, some people call him a rhino, Republican name only, because of that. He joins Fox News. Donna Brazile comes on. She's cheated to help with the elections to try to get a Democrat candidate to win. And then we move on down, you know, and it's just, if you look at this, then you think about why did Fox suddenly get to do the debate? It's pretty obvious to me. This is my commentary now. It's not the commentary of the organization or anybody else's. This is my commentary, and whatever Deborah says is hers. But it's pretty obvious to me by looking at this trail that as soon as they found out they couldn't do the debate, they jumped in and started heel-toeing, bringing people in from the Democratic convention and the people that was against the president to start with, and using them to get the favor of the Democrat Party, basically selling their viewers out to get to have the election debates. And they managed to do it now. I want you also to look. There were a lot of people that I would have rather seen interviewed the candidates. I would have rather seen, let's say, Jesse Waters. I would have rather seen Martha McCollum. I would have rather seen Shannon Bream. I'm not a real favorite of Bret Baier, but he would come to light. You know, Hannity. Hannity's been on top of all this stuff. He could ask some hard questions for both of them. So could Laura Ingraham. There's a lot of people at Fox that could have done it. But who did they pick? They picked Chris Wallace. And if you watch Chris Wallace in his interviews, you can go back on the internet and watch his interviews, watch his shows. You can tell he's highly biased, okay? And he does not like the president. He leans toward the Democrat Party. I would say the same thing if it was Barack Obama in the office and he leaned toward the left and he didn't like Barack Obama. We don't try to tell you these things. You know, this part is not commentary. I mean, this is fact. You can look it up. You can see for yourself. So why did Fox News do all these changes? Why did they bring in a never-Trumper? Why did they bring in a person who was caught cheating on the past debates, put them on their station, put them in control of their station in some sort of way as a board member, one of them? And why did they use Chris Wallace? I want you to think about that when you watch the debates tomorrow night. I don't want you to be picking sides on the two candidates, but I want you to watch Chris Wallace. I want you to watch and see what he does, because I really don't think that he's going to push one side as much as he is the other. And with that, we're about out of time for tonight. And it's been a great show. We had Chris Ann Hall here, Dr. Chris Ann Hall, Juris Doctor. She's a constitutional scholar. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you'll share this show so that other people will get to see it. You can share it. It'll be up, and you'll be able to share it, and they can watch it later. The other thing I'm going to ask is that you go to down to the show description, just scroll down the page, hit our YouTube link, go to YouTube, subscribe to my YouTube channel so that you can get breaking news. We're going to have to start doing more breaking news. And at the same time, you can go over to citizensagainstterrorism.org and you can join our organization that way, as I told you before. With that, I'm going to say good night. God bless you. God bless you, Deb, and God bless America. Let's keep it together, people. Amen.
God bless America.